محمد و آل محمد. بر محمد و آل محمد صلوات. اللهم صل على محمد و آل محمد. Brothers and sisters, please humble request to all of you, be settled down so we can start our program. Bar Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Tonight, inshallah, we are going to commemorate the event which took place in 1979, the martyrdom of Ustad Shahid Motahari Rahmatullah. So I would like to request all of you to recite one time Alhamd and three times Surah Qul for the soul of Ustad Motahari. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rabbil Alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawmid din. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. Sirata al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qul huwallahu ahad. Allahu as-samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل والله أحد. الله الصمد. لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل والله أحد. لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا
أحد. محمد وآل محمد صلوات. صل على محمد وآل محمد. The program is going to be start with the Quranic recitation. After Quranic recitation, we have a speech from the youth of the community, and then after which Maulana is going to give a short speech, and then we are going to start the QA session, inshallah. So I would like to request Daniel to start the Quranic recitation. Bar Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad salawat.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amma yatasa'alun أن النبا العظيم الذي هم فيه مختلفون كلا سيعلمون ثم كلا سيعلمون ألم نجعل الأرض مهادا والجبال أوتادا وخلقناكم أزواجا وجعلنا نومكم سباتا وجعلنا الليل لباسا وجعلنا النهار معاشا وبنينا فوقكم سبعا شدادا وجعلنا السراج وهاجا وانزلنا من المعصرات ماء سجاجا لنخرج به حبا ونباتا وجنات الفافا ان يوم الفصل كان ميقاتا يوم ينفق في السور فتأتون افواجا وفتحت السماء فكانت ابوابا ان المتقين والسيرات الجبال فكانت سرابا ان جهنم كانت مرصادا للطاغين مآبا لابثين فيها احقابا لا يذوقون فيها بردا ولا شرابا الا حميما وغساقا جزاء وفاقا انهم كانوا لا يرجون حسابا وكذبوا بآياتنا كذابا وكل شيء أحصيناه كتابا فذوقوا فلن نزيدكم إلا عذابا إن للمتقين مفازا حدائق وأعنابا وكواعب أترابا وكأسا دهاقا لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا كذابا جزاء من ربك عطاء حسابا رب السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما الرحمن لا يملكون منه خطابا يوم يقوم الروح والملائكة صفا لا يتكلمون إلا من أذن له الرحمن وقال صوابا ذلك اليوم الحق فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه مآبا إنا أنذرناكم عذابا قريبا يوم ينظر المرء ما قدمت يداه ويقول الكافر يا ليتني كنت ترابا. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Of what do they ask one another? About the great event, about which they differ. Nay, they shall soon come to know. Nay, nay, they shall soon know. Have we not made the earth an even expanse, and the mountains as projections thereon? And we created you in pairs, and we made your sleep to be rest to you, and we made the night to be a covering, and we made the day for seeking livelihood, and we made above you seven strong ones, and we made a shining lamp, and we sent down from the clouds water pouring forth abundantly, that we may bring forth thereby corn and herbs, and gardens dense and luxuriant. Surely the day of decision is a day appointed, the day on which the trumpet shall be blown, so you shall come forth in host. And the heaven shall be opened, so that it shall be all openings. And the mountains shall be moved off, so that they shall remain a mere semblance. Surely hell lies in wait, a place of resort for the inordinate, living therein for ages. They shall not taste therein cool nor drink, but boiling and intensely cold water. Requital corresponding. Surely they feared not the account, and called our communications a lie, giving the lie to the truth. And we have recorded everything in a book. So taste, for we will not add to you aught but chastisement. Surely for those who guard against evil is achievement, gardens and vineyards, and those showing freshness of youth equals in age, and a pure cup, they shall not hear therein any vain words nor lying. A reward from your Lord, a gift according to a reckoning, the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and what is between them, the beneficent God, they shall not be able to address him. The day on which the spirit and the angels shall stand in ranks, they shall not speak except he whom the beneficent God permits and who speaks the right thing. That is the sure day, so whoever desires may take refuge with his Lord. Surely we have warned you of a chastisement near at hand, the day when man shall see what his two hands have sent before, and the unbeliever shall say, "Oh, would that I were dust." Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you so much to start the program with the Quranic recitation. A little biography about Ustad Matahari. 1920, he was born in Fariman, the province in Khorasan. Teachers Agha Bahud, Ayatollah Barojardi, Ayatollah Tabatabai, and Imam Rahil, Imam Khomeini, Rahmatullah Alayh. He was a committed thinker, Bar Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad Salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. A committed thinker and a master of the education for our society. He was a founder of Nahjul Balagha. He loved Nahjul Balagha even word by word. At the age of 62, he lived totally the age of 62. On 30th April 1979, he got martyred with those forces which they opposed the revolution. On 2nd of May, Imam declared the International Day for the Teachers in order to honor Ustad Matahari, and on the speech Imam mentioned in the last speech Imam Khomeini mentioned to have for the Ustad Matahari, and he prayed for Ustad Matahari in a words that he said that, "Oh Allah, bless Ustad Matahari for the sake of Holy Prophet and resurrect him with Holy Prophet." So inshallah we are going to pray the same prayers, and inshallah Bar Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad Salawat. I would like to invite Shayan to start the program with a speech and on the same topic of Ustad Matahari. Its topic is going to be the importance of knowledge. Bar Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad Salawat. Salawat.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Respected Mawlana and dear Mu'mineen, Assalamu alaikum. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, "Seek knowledge from the cradle till the grave." According to the teachings of Islam, seeking knowledge is one of the great acts of worship that leads one to the path of paradise. However, the aim behind seeking knowledge is more important than the knowledge itself. Seeking true knowledge with a divine aim For the pleasure of Allah and serving His creature leads one to paradise in the company of the prophets and awliya. But seeking knowledge for personal, mundane, or worldly motives leads a person to ignorance, sins against the creatures of God, and ultimately, hell. Knowledge is the basis of every sublime state and the culmination of every high station. That is why the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "It is the duty of every Muslim, man and woman, to seek knowledge." He also said, "Seek knowledge, though it be in China." This brings me to the topic of my speech, the pursuit of knowledge. This chapter is 26 in Ayatollah Khomeini's book For the Hadith. And in the beginning it says, Abu Abdullah alayhi salam has said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, "One who proceeds on a path in the pursuit of knowledge, God makes him proceed therewith on a path to the garden. And verily the angels spread their wings for the seekers of knowledge out of delight. Verily, every creature of the heaven and the earth asks forgiveness for the seekers of knowledge, even the fish in the sea. The merit of the alim over the abid is like the merit of the moon over the stars on a full moon night. The learned are the heir of the prophets, for the prophets did not leave behind a legacy of wealth, but that of knowledge. So whoever partakes of it derives a plenteous benefit." Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi broke this hadith into 5 sections: the path of knowledge and the way to paradise, angels spreading their wings for the seekers of knowledge, the inhabitants of the heaven and earth asking forgiveness for the seekers of knowledge, the alim's superiority over the abid, and the ulama being the heir of the prophets. Salawat. It should be known that the sciences are absolutely divisible into 2 kinds. One of these are the worldly sciences, whose ultimate purpose is to achieve worldly aims. The other are the sciences of the hereafter, whose ultimate purpose is attainment of malakuti stations and degrees and reaching the otherworldly stations. The effects described in the noble tradition in relation to the pursuit of knowledge and the learned evidently correspond to the second type of knowledge, the knowledge of the hereafter. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, "Acquisition of knowledge is incumbent on every Muslim." From this we can get a few points. Number 1, the tradition intends to state that at whatever state of knowledge one may be, he should strive to make further advance. The Prophet means that acquisition of knowledge is wajib for all Muslims, scholars as well as ignorant men, beginners as well as learned scholars. Whatever stage of knowledge man may attain, he is still like a child entering to adulthood and should learn more. Number 2, the tradition implies that a Muslim can never be relieved of his responsibility of acquiring knowledge. Number 3, no field of knowledge or science is undetestable in itself, for knowledge is like light and it is always desirable. The reason why some sciences have been regarded as undesirable is because of the undesirable effects they produce. Number 4, the knowledge which is incumbent on every Muslim to acquire is the knowledge which elevates man's position in the next world and which brings him to the knowledge of himself, Allah, the Messenger of Allah, the Imams, and anything else that brings him close. Number 5, the levels of acquisition of knowledge differ from person to person in accordance with their talents. And even in the case of a particular person, the level of attainment changes with his evolution. Therefore, there is no limit to the acquisition of this type of knowledge, and no matter what level one reaches, it is still incumbent on him to attain a higher level. This does not mean we cannot learn knowledge from regular school. As Shaheed Mutahiri has rightly pointed out, such classifications may entail the misconception that the non-religious sciences are alien to Islam, and this seems incompatible with the universality of Islam, the religion which claims to bestow full felicity upon mankind. A religion that considers itself self-sufficing cannot estrange itself from issues which play a vital role in securing welfare and independence for the Islamic society. According to Shaheed Mutahiri, Islam's comprehensiveness and finality as a religion demands that every field of knowledge that is beneficial for an Islamic society be regarded as a part and parcel of the religious sciences. Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam knew the language of birds, so this means we can seek knowledge, but it has to be for the sake of Allah. Also, knowledge is useless without action. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, that knowledge which remains only on your tongue is very superficial. The intrinsic value of knowledge is that you act upon it. The Prophet was asked, what is knowledge? He replied, to keep silent. He was asked then, he said, to listen attentively. He was asked then, he said, to remember. He was asked then, he said, to act upon what is learned. He was asked then, he said, to propagate. Fatima Tabatabai, Imam Khomeini's daughter-in-law, says, the advice of Imam was this: after you have brought knowledge in line with your intellect, try and give it to your heart. When it goes to the heart, it will be a promoter of affairs. This will be the knowledge that moves you. If you do not send knowledge to your heart, it will become like a box which has a lot of books in it, like a library, and it will become a veil. So we should send knowledge to our hearts and act upon it. Salawat. That those that seek knowledge have the blessing of angels spreading their wings on them. It is narrated from Miqdad alayhi salam. I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, verily, the angels spread out their wings for the seekers of knowledge out of their delight for him, so that he walks over them. From this, we come to know that one who takes the first step towards God and his good pleasure stands over the shoulders of the angels and sits on their wings. And this celestial carpet remains until the ultimate stages of acquisition of knowledge and learning. The next section talks about the forgiveness for the seekers of knowledge. In a hadith, it is mentioned that knowledge in its entirety is power in its entirety. Now that it is known that all existence possess knowledge and consciousness, and that all of them have a malakuti aspect, and since we do not stand with them on the same plane, and in addition, veiled from the malakut, there is no wonder if they should ask forgiveness for the human being pursuing the path of knowledge and moving towards Allah. Salawat. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the ink of the scholars and the blood of the shuhada will be weighed on Qiyamah, and the ink will be heavier. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, knowledge is better than wealth for the seven reasons. Number one, knowledge is inheritance of prophets, while wealth is inheritance of Pharaoh. Number two, knowledge does not diminish, rather it increases, but wealth diminishes with spending. Number three, wealth requires to be protected, while knowledge protects its owner. Number four, knowledge will enter the kafan, while wealth will be prevented. Number five, wealth reaches both believers and unbelievers, while knowledge is reserved for only those that deserve it. Number six, knowledge will facilitate passing over the sirat, while wealth will pour hurdles. Number seven, people are always in need of scholars, while they are not and always in need of those possessing wealth. In a tradition, it is stated, the man of faith moves in five light. His entry is light, his exit is light, his knowledge is light, his speech is light, and his passage to paradise on the day of judgment is light. With all this, one can tell how much superiority an alim has over an abid. Another hadith mentions, knowledge is a light that God casts into the hearts of anyone that he wishes. It should be known that ibadah too cannot take place without knowledge, and hence the abid has a light that is particularly his. Rather, the essence of faith in God and worship of him are light, with the difference that the abid's light is confined to himself. It illuminates the path beneath his feet, but does not give light to others. His example is that of a star and a moon. It's light up, but the moon lights up so much that the star's light doesn't count. And the alim's light is like that of a moon. Even on a starless night, it still shines for others. With all this in mind, it does sometimes become haram for someone to acquire knowledge. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, do not seek knowledge for four aims. Number one, self-glorification in front of people of knowledge. Number two, quarreling with the ignorant. 3, showing off in gatherings of people. And 4, attracting attention of people in order to secure an office of authority. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ajjal farajum.
The last part of the hadith is about the ulama being the heir of the prophets. This inheritance is spiritual, and after the prophets, the function of instruction and rearing lies with the ulama, who are the real heir of the prophets. The prophets, by virtue of this spiritual station, were not owners of wealth or concerned with the world of mulk and its corporeal affairs. Their inheritance, in virtue of this station, was nothing except knowledge and divine teachings. And the ulama have a higher position because they know more. And in Quran, Surah 39, Ayat 9, it says, "Are those who know and those who don't equal?" In conclusion, the pursuit of knowledge has many benefits in the hereafter, and every Muslim has a duty to acquire knowledge for the pleasure of Allah. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "He who learns knowledge for other than God, and his aim be other than God, will abide in hell. One whose knowledge increases, but his salvation does not keep pace with it, his remoteness from God increases. One whose knowledge, any knowledge not helping man on his way to Allah is similar to the loads of book carried on the back of a donkey. As Shaheed Bayesti puts it, any area of knowledge, as long as it does not become an instrument in the hands of Taghut, is a means of enlightenment. Otherwise, knowledge may also become a means of misguidance. The only limit set to the acquisition of knowledge is that Muslims should seek useful knowledge. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "My Lord, save me from the useless knowledge. Any knowledge helping man in performing his God-assigned role in this world is useful. Other than that is considered useless knowledge. Know that a small amount of knowledge requires a great deal of action, because the knowledge of the hour requires the person who has such knowledge to act accordingly during his entire life. Prophet Isa alayhi salam said, 'I saw a stone on which was written, "Turn me over." So I turned it over. Written on the other side was, "Whoever does not act by what he knows will be doomed by seeking what he does not know, and his own knowledge will be turned against him." Ayatollah Behzad used to say, "Had people acted upon their knowledge, all their affairs would have improved. That is, if they performed their duties, abandoned what is prohibitive, and endeavored to perform what is commendable, their affairs would have improved. So we must acquire knowledge and act upon what we learn." Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "A person setting forth for the acquisition of knowledge is like the one who struggles in the way of God. In the end, the legacy of the prophets by virtue of their prophetic function and spiritual inheritance is not wealth and treasure, rather it is knowledge. May Allah hasten the reappearance of our Imam and include us in his army and keep us on the pursuit of knowledge." Now let us recite dua for Imam Zamana. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا خدايا خدايا تا انقلاب مهدي از نهضت خمینی محافظت بفرما خامنه‌ای رهبر به لطف خود نگهدار رزمندگان اسلام نصرت عطا بفرما دیدار روی مهدی نصیب ما بگردا زیارت امام حسین نصیب ما بفرما آمین یا رب العالمین صلوات
MashaAllah, Brother Shayan, thank you so much for giving such an eloquent speech on the importance of knowledge, and may Allah accept our prayers as well. Brother Hussain Faladi is here, so I would like to request Brother Hussain to just give a short speech on the occasion and a little bit on the Quranic tafsir as well. But Muhammad Wale